Welcome to the Best Hour of Their Day podcast with your host, Jason Fernandez.
And me, Jason Ackerman. With more than 20 years in the business,
as both coaches and affiliate owners,
our passion is to help create world-class affiliates
and coaches by building
better boxes. Welcome to
the Best Hour of Your Day.
This holiday season, the best gifts are personal, and there's nothing more personal than the gift of good health. Whether your loved one runs, bikes, hikes, plays sports, or simply wants to improve their wellness, Insight Tracker is the most personalized way to make sure their body stays in it for the long haul. Gift cards and clothes are impersonal and they're expected. So why not get your loved ones a gift that is truly special and unique to them? This Black Friday, you can save $200 on Insight Tracker's Ultimate Plan, the most comprehensive way to get personalized insight into their body's well-being. Best Hour of Their Day podcast listeners also get a free InnerAge. No two people achieve optimal health the same way. Age, genetics, nutrition, and lifestyle all play a part. But no matter who you're shopping for, Insight Tracker's personalized nutrition and performance system provides the most detailed analysis of their biomarker data from blood, DNA, lifestyle, and fitness tracking. Insight Tracker gives them the power to live a healthier, longer life through concrete, personalized action plans consisting of proven, science-backed recommendations. So, starting November 24th, head to insidetracker.com/besthouroftheirday to save $200 on Insight Tracker's Ultimate Plan, and as a listener, get a free InnerAge. Or you can use our code BESTHOUROFDAYGIFT, that's BESTHOUROFDAYGIFT, BESTHOUROFDAYGIFT, at checkout to give the gift of personalized health. All right, we have two OGs on the episode today. Dave and Lauren Plume, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having us.
You and I, we all go way back. We go back to what, 2009 or 8 even?
I think 8.
Were you at the first competition at the parking lot that wasn't regionals?
Yeah, it was just like an Albany CrossFit face-off or something.
Yeah, Dave, you did actually, well there.
I did all right. I'd only been CrossFitting for maybe 6 months. Not even 6 months. And Dave wasn't on board yet. And I was like, you got to come and see what these people do. And he came and he signed up at CrossFit Milford after that.
I forgot that you were kind of a global gym holdout, Dave. I forgot about that. So, yeah, that was 2008. And I mean, we can talk a lot about the competitions. But so recently we were at the Rogue Invitational and we had my old coach, Kevin Houston, on. I don't know if you remember Kevin.
Yeah, we know Kevin.
Yeah, I remember Kevin.
Yeah. And he was like, man, you got to get the Plume. Like, it just came up. And I was like, and then I reached out to you guys. I was like, yeah, I do got to get him on because there's so much to talk about. But for the listeners, you opened Shoreline in when, 2009, 10?
Mm-hmm. Yep, 2009.
And you had come from Jason Milford's box, not Jason Milford, Jason Layden's box, CrossFit Milford.
Yep.
So, and really back then, you were one of the first boxes to leave an established box and do your own thing. So, and since then, that's happened to you guys, I'm sure, many times.
Oh my God. Every CrossFit on, you know, we're on the Shoreline in Connecticut came from our box and no hard feelings, but everybody did.
So let's talk a little bit about what that was like in 2009 versus 2021. So when you guys, first of all, you're at CrossFit Milford, you're a teacher, right, Lauren?
Correct. Yep.
Still doing the thing, still teaching.
Yep.
You back in school or you on Zoom these days?
We're back in school. Thank God.
All right. And Dave, this is your full-time gig.
Right, since 2010.
So what were you doing prior to that?
Everything. I was a banker, I was tending bar, and I was doing real estate on Sundays, and then running the gym early morning, and then coming back at night.
And what made you decide, okay, we're at this box, we're enjoying this thing, I want to do this, we want to do this on our own?
what made us decide to open up the gym.
You're at Jason's box, and at the time Milford was like the preeminent box, right? And it's still a great box. And I mean, Jason's still around. But what was it like to decide, hey, we want to do this? And what were some of the things you did to make sure you guys are looking at each other like some of the things were good, some were bad?
It wasn't a we, because I'm a very, I don't ever know if complacent is the right word to describe me, because I guess content's a better word. I'm always content. Whatever I'm doing, like I'll let you know if I'm not, but I'm normally pretty happy. And I was happy. I was working for Jason part-time. I was, you know, I'd qualified for the games the year before, and Jason was my trainer. So it was convenient. And Dave was like, hey, like he's always wanted to be an entrepreneur. And he was like, we should open up a gym on the other side of the Quinnipiac Bridge, which is a major bridge where we live. There was nothing until Providence. And, I was like, no, I'm fine doing this. Like, let's not get greedy. And then one day I opened our garage at home and I saw all these squat racks piled up in there. And I was like, what are you doing?
And kettlebells.
And he went boxes behind my back and secured the spot and started gathering equipment. And then I was like, all right, I guess we got the ball rolling. We'll do this.
Where'd you get them? Christian's Fitness Factory on eBay?
Look at that. It was Right Rubber. Remember them?
Yeah.
And then a lot of like Total Fitness equipment that no one was using, like kettlebells and things like that, and plyo boxes. And
our very first client was a welder. So he welded a lot of the racks for us. He made them himself.
Yeah.
Which that was cool.
Really quick, but before, so I think when I looked around, two things. One is Lauren and I were so passionate about fitness, and we still are. Back then, that I looked around the industry in general, not just CrossFit, and I said, we're the right people to run a gym, to inspire people. We talk the talk, we walk the walk, and we're people, right? We were in the service industry for a while. So, but then I also, what made it easy for me is I had a CrossFit Games athlete as my wife that was willing to work for Nichols, and she was gorgeous, and she still is, but she was super fit, and she was well spoken, and she was coaching, and
I was programming back then too. God bless everyone.
Yeah.
Well, and Lauren, I mean, I don't want to, like, you know, we're in a weird time. I don't know what I'm allowed to say, but I mean, you were like the hot Northeast girl, you know, like the fit, thanks, like attractive. Thanks. You say, like, I definitely offended you.
No, you can't offend me. Don't worry.
No. But I mean, like, I remember, like, you guys would come by and everybody be like, that girl's like, you were the girl, like, in the Northeast. And, you know, and I'm sure you still, I mean, I don't follow a whole lot of competitive athlete these days, but are you still training? Do you have a master's running you? Are you even 35 yet, Lauren?
Oh, I'll be 40 next month. I've been doing the masters straight from 35 on. The game just changed, you know, in 2009, 2010, it was about work capacity, and you could get through with very little skill if you had good lungs and a lot of heart, which has always been my strength. I'm gritty. But when things started getting heavy, that's where I knew, you know, I would have to put a lot more training in. And honestly, after like 2013, I just wasn't willing to do that anymore. And then obviously once we had our son, I was like, I don't want to give 2 hours a day to the gym. I want to, you know, work out an hour in a class and be done with it. And I'm really happy. I think that I made that transition pretty well without getting, you know, depressed or anything like that.
What was it like, kind of, I mean, that's going back almost 10 years, but ending it, calling it, you know, pseudo retirement, if you will.
Ooh, that was hard for me. She didn't want to let go as easily. I would program like mountain climbers and she'd grab her jump rope and do triple unders. And so I was like, no, you got to do the workout of the day and you can't change it. And I could see the transition was very challenging for her. But after a while, I think she just found out that it was just easier on the body. And just smarter.
Yeah. I ran into Ben Kelly.
Oh, I still talk to Ben.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's still throwing down in the Masters.
Sure is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when you decided to leave Milford, what was that like? Was it tough between you and Jason? Was he supportive?
He was supportive. Yeah. They came to our grand opening. I still am fairly close with his wife. And so I was in their wedding. I think he understood. He was taken back. I mean, you're always, well, maybe you're not, but when someone leaves my gym to open another gym, it's gotten easier over the years, but there was always kind of your initial feeling. It's like, what? And then, you know, you let it ruminate and you realize like they're doing the same thing that I was doing. And I think Jay realized that, and where we set up is 35 minutes to 40 from his location. Oh. So it wasn't as if we were stepping on his toes. And we still have a good relationship with them.
Having been through it on both ends, what's something that someone looking to open an affiliate can do well in order to leave on good terms? And what's something they can do not so well? I'm sure you've had both of those experiences.
Yeah.
Be honest is my advice. Dave could probably talk more to this, but be honest. Don't set up shop behind your box owner's back. Let them know, you know, this is what I'm thinking of doing, and don't poach clients.
I'm assuming you're speaking from, you know, experience. People do that.
Yeah, I've gotten soft over the years. If someone wants to open up a gym, go for it. Running a gym is very hard, and it's not working out 3 hours a day, and you're not going to make $100,000+ a year these days unless you're excellent at what you do. So if you are excellent at what you do, go for it. And I'm fully supportive of it. I don't need much. Listen, you don't have to give me much notice. If you are going to do it in the same town, yeah, obviously give your affiliate owner the respect, or if they're your friend, you just, you know, give them a call. At the same time, if they don't, it's understandable because they're humans and they're just trying to make a living. And it's not the easiest thing to open up a gym and say, hey, world, I'm becoming a trainer, especially for people that were bankers in their previous life. So I think it's okay to leave your box. And I think the affiliate owner should just know that you just better be really good at what you do if you want to stay in business. And that's okay.
Well, so when someone has left, what was the worst it impacted Shoreline? Just so box owners, you know, can put their fear at ease. Like, what was the absolute worst case when another member opened or coach opened, like, that it impacted you guys?
Well, we won't say the gym or anything, but we had somebody who didn't leave on the nicest terms. And so they opened up very close to us and we lost 41 clients. Wow. Immediately. However,
that's a lot. I mean, that's huge.
We never had those clients to begin with. We were too busy. We weren't servicing them well. And in hindsight, we needed another affiliate to service those people. At the time, you know, again,
you don't see it that way though, at the time.
And I don't look at it as revenue. I look at it as relationships. But obviously, they thought they can find a better product, get served better elsewhere. And I think it was perfect for our community, that gym's community and ours and the area itself. And that gym is a really good gym now, and we don't cross paths ever. We do something very different than in terms of programming. Our demographic is different, and it worked out perfectly.
It did. And it forced us. We were booming in 2011 as most CrossFit.
Oh, that was just like,
that was all CrossFit.
Right. That was,
yeah. And we had on ramps every 2 weeks that were 30 people coming in. And we were coached, two coaches per class. And I mean, it was a lot. I was thinking of quitting teaching. Thank God I didn't. But it was a lot. And
it diluted the product, right? It diluted the experience for the person that was a member for the long haul. Mm-hmm. I remember how stressful those times were when you'd have 30 plus people a class and how the movement standards, what they look like. And, you know, the whiteboard discussion, what that looked like, and the chattering in the class. You just can't manage 30 plus adults well when it's kind of that competitive kind of space. And so I think we're way better off. Our biggest classes now, my biggest class right now is 24 people in a class. And we capped it because of COVID, but we capped it because it works for everyone and they have their own space. But a good class size, 15 to 20 people with one really good coach and, you know, or possibly two. We usually have a coach working on a class that usually assists as well. So I think it's way better around that 15 to 20 number.
And I was just in line with that. It made me, at least, I don't want to speak for Dave, get on my A game, because I was taking advantage of the fact that people were just coming in and leaps and bounds. And when someone left, someone else came in. And now it's, you know, it made me step up my game. Having good competition does that for you. Yeah. And it was really what we needed.
Retention is the name of the game these days.
Yeah, absolutely. So how long did it take you to recover from that?
From the loss of, call it, the 41 members.
Yeah.
Ego wise, probably about a year and a half, 2 years. In reality, I mean, you make a couple hundred dollars less in your paycheck. But that, you know, it's fine. We recovered pretty quickly.
And is that other affiliate still open?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So have you seen most of those members stay there or some come back over time?
Yeah, that's kind of the nice part of the story is that they left us and they're still at that other affiliate and they love it and they're part of their community and they've competed and they're all in, right?
They've come back to our gym to compete when we've hosted competitions, which is nice. We have a good relationship. They're just very different. We have a much older demographic. Than they do. Our programming is insanely different and that works.
So I think, you know, you were very similar to how I was in Albany at that time. It was, like you said, booming, onboarding was packed. You can gain 40 members in a month and you're probably also churning, you know, 10 or 20. So you're increasing, but you're, you know, never going up by as much as you believe you are.
Right.
What were some of the things you changed at that time where you're like, okay, this is unsustainable or unmanageable to continue to, like, you're not creating the same relationships you were in 2009 or 10. What were some of the things you changed, whether it was capping classes or did you expand anything else that went on there?
Yeah, a couple of things. At the time we were in a 10,000 square foot facility. So it was kind of funky the way the gym was set up, but the main room was about 3,500 square feet. And then there was a room in the back that was another 3,400 square feet and then different sections. So we moved into, we raised prices so we wouldn't get an influx of new people. I think we raised our prices $25 for the part-time and full-time. So and all the other, substantial, and all the other, in terms of the market, we were well above the market rate. And then we went into a smaller facility, but one big room, as opposed to this massive 10,000 square foot facility.
But that was years later.
Years later. Yeah.
That was
2016.
We'd made that decision.
Yeah.
It was much better. I don't know if this is anything. We went from a two-room facility because we needed that when we had all those people coming in and on-ramp. We used to put the on-rampers in one room for on-ramp. Someone could teach that. And then we had the main room for the CrossFit classes. And we actually had a center lifting room as well in that facility because we had so many competitors at that time, regional competitors. So they would be lifting in that room doing, you know, accessory stuff. And then that all ended, like all the people coming in and we weren't a big competition gym anymore. And we really realized that what we needed to get that 2009 feel back was we needed everyone in the same room. And honestly, we pushed away a lot of our competitors because we were like, this is not our vibe anymore. We're not doing this. And it was causing this feeling of the gym being very clicky. And we heard people say that, you know, through the rumor mill. And I was like, oh, I don't want to be that way. Like, we weren't that way when we started. And so now, you know, since 2016, we have everybody in the same room, everybody coaches doing the same exact workouts. And I think it's been great. It's cut down on a lot of those interpersonal problems, I think, that were created by the separation of the classes.
You know, I think that's an issue a lot of boxes run into. They think they need more space and they have all these different areas where people can work out. And often that just creates divides in the community.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, you got people creeping in there?
I have my son.
Yeah. You know, whenever you're at the office, people always are, or your children always come in. Yeah. So with that happening, what are some of the things you've done? Or let me ask it this way. What are some of the things over 10 years that have changed the most for you guys?
Well, we used to party very, very hard with our clients in the beginning. You don't remember how cross it was.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I miss those days, but now we both have kids now.
We're still all of our closest friends are our clients still. So I guess that hasn't changed so much. Just the degree of partying as you are 10 years older changes a little bit. You know, for me, stepping back is not being an athlete and just being a coach and trying and knowing that I have to get respect from my clients now based on my coaching ability, not on my athletic prowess. People come in and they don't know I competed in the games. And even if they did, it was 10 years ago. So who the heck cares? It's like old news. And so just trying to be a better, all around better coach and finding what my niche is in coaching, because as you know, everybody's is different, right? Some people are a little more technical, and figuring that out was a huge, huge shift for me that happened probably around 2013-14.
What about you, Dave?
I wasn't that good at CrossFit, so it was very easy to transition.
You were always part of the regional team, right?
I was. I own the gym. I can put myself on the team. It's fine.
Yeah, that's true.
I just simplified it. I realized that CrossFit in itself, the programming is magic. So getting away from like 3 hours of training a day and trying to reach for something that just wasn't realistic. In reality, it wasn't me. I'm more of a coach. I've always been more of a coach and call it programmer than an athlete. So I just had to come to grips with that and just be okay with not being the top five best athlete in the gym. Just being a heck of a coach, a good friend, and then just doing the class workout and nothing else. So that took a little bit.
And I think for Dave too, the self-education was huge piece. He went through a revolution. Yeah. I don't remember what year that was, but he quit partying altogether, no alcohol, no nothing. And this dude just read books. And at the time it was, of course, the best book. At the time it was hard for me to see because it was such a change for him. But now looking back, it was absolutely necessary for our business to move in the direction that it did for him to gain all of this knowledge through reading.
Right. Like many boxes, you guys did this out of a passion, not because you wanted to be business owners. And then at some point you realize we still need to have fun and be able to party with our members, but we need to run a business.
Correct. Correct.
What were maybe two or three of the biggest mistakes you were making at the time?
Back in the day, mistakes we were making, letting me do the programming.
I just wanted competitive.
Yeah, I was competitive. I was in love with CrossFit. I still am, but I have no understanding. I thought everybody could perform the way that I did, recover the way that I did. And we just slaughtered people with work, with benchmarks every day. Kill yourself. Let's set a PR 3 times a week. That was not smart.
For me, I think it was, I got away from coaching classes. I was running the business and trying to make it this empire and getting into this deep diving process of programming and education and the science part of fitness. But I went from teaching 10, 12 classes to teaching 2 or 3. And that wasn't good for our model. Our clients came for us. I know a lot of the coaches out there are saying that you should remove yourself from the schedule completely or only teach a few classes a week. But I think part of the reason our business has been successful is because we've been out in front. Not only do we work out in the classes, but we try to teach the majority of the classes, all the holiday workouts, all those things.
I think that I don't know if it's necessary for you to teach all the classes, but to be there walking around, yeah. be visible, not behind a computer at home programming. And that's where Dave was for a little while. And so now, I mean, he doesn't teach.
If I have to, I'll teach up to 12 classes a week, but generally 6 to 8 is the sweet spot. And that gets me enough exposure and it keeps me sharp as a coach. And I can see what I need to see to make the adjustments to the programming for the following week and have those one-off conversations. So yeah, I think you got to stay present. I think you got to coach classes. And then the other thing was just not training 3 hours a day and just doing the program to make sure that it's a good program. If the product you're putting out is actually worth the $150+ a month, mm-hmm. is it a great experience? And if you're not doing the workouts that you write for your clients, then you actually don't know if you have something that's good. And so, you know, we're back in it.
So currently, are you doing the programming?
Yeah, I have a little assistance. My manager, Carl, writes the warm-ups. Carl Chu, he was Megan Oskowski, now Megan Shepherd's coach many years ago. So he's been with us forever. He's our head trainer. He's awesome. So he keeps an eye on the program to make sure that I don't do anything crazy, but I do write the programming for the gym.
With so many options out there, why do you guys prefer it that way?
Because we know our clients and because we have the skill and we've been around it long enough and we want to keep it fun, but we don't want to put our clients at risk. Remember, we have an older demographic. We're 40 plus easy at our gym on average. So I'm not going to program overhead squat and squat snatches. But I can do, you know, empty barbell overhead squats, or I can mix in those things occasionally, but I just think that someone has to keep an eye on it to make sure it stays fun. There's the variety of movements that CrossFit offers, which is amazing, but just doesn't write, you know, maximal loads or high percentage work, or takes it on a stretch that, you know, creates some, you know, some imbalances that some programs can do.
What's one thing that's changed over the years as far as your programming? Obviously you mentioned, you know, just volume in general, but you mentioned now like limiting maybe overhead squats or snatching, anything else that goes on?
So we still do those things, but just differently, and I'll progress them.
I think too, it's the semantics. It used to be like, this is our Rex. And it was almost like, this is what, if you want to be a true CrossFitter, you are doing this RX.
RX.
We got away from that terminology. You know, we have 3 levels. We showcase the level 1 first on our computer, our TV screen in the gym. So like, that's what the majority of the people see first. And they're like, oh, okay, I'm going to do this with 45 pounds. And then like, you know, the level 3 is down there and there may be, you know, 5% of the gym that does that. But it's, our focus isn't on that, so that people don't feel like they're doing less if they're not doing that.
Yeah. And what's a standard day of programming look like? Are you a 1 workout a day affiliate now?
Yeah. Yeah. Always, always a 10 to 15 strength session up front. You know, it could be an A1, A2 back squat, you know, strict handstand pushups or dumbbell strict presses. You know, something like that, 5x5 back squat, 5x5 on the strict press and the handstand pushup. And then the strength is usually anywhere between 10 and 20 minutes. We've gotten back to the short and intense workouts and our clients are really loving it. So there's days where we've programmed an 8-10 minute workout, whereas years past, we've given up so much volume, these long epic workouts, that when we give them that, they weren't able to hit the intensity the right way. They didn't appreciate the workout. They would scale too heavy. So I think we're at a good place in our facility where we can do those things, discuss the prescription, and people are into it. And so we're back to programming those, you know, 10, 12, 13 minute workouts often. And it keeps people healthy and it keeps them progressing.
You have people complaining that they're not doing enough?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
How do you handle that, being around as long as you have?
Well, they're not going to change my mind on the programming. So they can complain all they want. The proof is in the pudding. When they're not injured in 6 months and they look good and they've put on muscle and lost body fat, then okay, argue about that. You know?
Yeah, you know, go ahead, Lauren.
I always use the when someone comes at me after a workout and they're like, well, that wasn't hard, like what's his name said the other day to me. Elizabeth Darsh in the beginning, like when oh, if your workout isn't hard enough, move faster. Move faster. You should have done. I looked at this guy that said to me, I said, you were doing the same weight I am, and you should have gone a little bit faster. And he was like, okay. Point taken. So sometimes I go old school CrossFit on him. I can't help it, but I kind of feel out the client and you know what they can handle.
Yeah. But it's and so true. People want to do more volume at the sake of intensity.
Mm-hmm. Right. Correct. Trust me, I want to. That's where I shine, but it's not what ever made me better.
Yeah.
Were you going to answer that, Dave?
At this point, I'm confident enough to remind them that they pay me to write the program, or they pay the gym to provide them with a service. And that part of that is trusting us in the process and seeing it through for, call it 6 months or a year before they.
Well, like we do trick them a little bit too. So like the strength, you know, it might be an EMOM where you have like a lift, a core movement, and then like, a, you know, like a real easy assault bike, like super easy for like 30 seconds. And then you keep them, you know, the warm up was before that and they were moving all through that. And then they're setting up their stuff and then they're moving for another 12 minutes. So it's got the semblance of, okay, I've been moving for an hour, or, you know, people are always looking at their watches. I've been burning calories for an hour. And so, but they're still getting strength. So
What advice would you give to someone opening a box today?
From someone else that already has members. because starting a box these days, between the permits and the cost of equipment and the cost to gather a client or to get a client is challenging. But if you're going to open up a box, I mean, you just be okay with not making any money the first year. So make sure you don't overpay yourself the first year.
Do it because you absolutely love it. I think that's always what will come through to our clients. That, as Dave said earlier, we love exercise and we love people. I love people. That's why I teach. I don't really care about English. That's what I teach. It's fine. It just happens to be the subject I'm best at. But I love people. And I tried to find a job that I could always deal with them and work with them and get different. And, you know, I love the different things that my kids bring to the table. And I feel the same way at the gym. You know, when someone comes in and they're looking dejected, I want to talk to him like, oh, dude, what happened today? You have a bad day? Like, and I want to fix that through movement because I know that's what makes me feel better. That's my therapy. And I think that that will always come through to your clients. If you are there because you think that, you know, this is your last option, no other career has worked out for you, you want to make money, people are going to call you on that. They're going to see right through that.
So with that being said, has there been a period of time where you're like, I hate people?
Not me. You?
I think every box owner goes through that, right? Like, we do this because we love it. We want to help people. And then at some point, it's like, I hate these people. Like, I don't want to be near them. Have you guys, was there ever a period of time you experienced that?
Well, Lauren just ran upstairs. But no, I think generally I can tolerate a lot and people can talk back to me or, you know, they can make their little comments. Those things just roll off my back. So, I think you just, you know, when you're dealing with people, you have to be okay with their mood swings and don't take it personal and make sure that you don't bring your baggage in from the outside into the gym. You know, whatever you have to do, sit in your car, play some music, drink your cup of coffee first, get to bed earlier. And just don't bring your personal issues into the gym. You know, and don't take anything personal, but you know, you got to like people too.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. There's things people do that irritate me.
What's something that irritates a 10-year box owner?
Everybody thinks that this blah, 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 blah. People are saying this, da, 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 da. I'm like, who are the people? You're the person. My students do that too all the time. Everybody in the class thinks that, but they're 16. So I'm going to let that slide. And you have to be sensitive because obviously it's something they're upset about, but it's like, how many people? And then it always comes down to it's you and your best friend, you know, right, commiserating with one another. So that's an irritating behavior for me that I can think of off the top of my head.
If someone took a rower and they put it underneath a pull-up bar and put their barbell like over the rower and they don't want to share their space and they're just not part of the community.
Yeah, I don't like that.
That's a problem for me. So, and I usually let people know real quick that this isn't who we are. We got to share. We're a community. That's not your pull-up bar. That's our pull-up bar we're letting you use right now.
For this hour. Yeah. And going back to what Lauren said, that's something where I was like, who's everybody? It's you. Right. It's you and your one friend that no one at the gym likes. Now, with what you just said about the equipment, recently I kind of talked about you shouldn't be cleaning up your equipment early. Is that something you guys still try to uphold all these years in?
Actually, so that Saturday, I put it on underneath the workout. Don't break down your equipment until the workout is complete for everyone. I said, cheer someone on or stretch. And it was magic. It was gold. Everyone hung out. They cheered each other on. And then once the workout ended, everyone participated in cleaning up together. And I just kept the music on loud enough so it felt like a lounge area. And it was gold. So thanks for that. I read all your posts.
Yeah, I love your posts.
Some of them are a gut check.
I love them. I think they're great.
The whiteboard discussion, like stepping your game up by the whiteboard, that one hit hard because, you know, sometimes I don't always do that. So I made sure I read all the above, right? I just said to myself, like, I'm not discussing the intensity of the workouts, right? I can't remember exactly what we talked about, but I did. It was something about time caps and then the whiteboard discussion in general. And so I took that to heart because lately I've been distracted. We're actually moving our gym and my whiteboard game got a little weak. And so I made sure I changed that.
Well, and I think, you know, going back to the equipment, it is as simple as just telling the members at the whiteboard. Like, I think oftentimes as a longtime box owner, you can get upset and frustrated versus just like, hey guys, don't put your shit away today. We're going to all do, you know, and then they just don't. And then it becomes part of the tradition culture. Again. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The culture. How did everything that went down a year and a half ago impact you guys? By everything, I mean, Coach Glassman.
I'm like COVID. Oh,
that as well. Connecticut wasn't impacted quite like New York State was, but
right,
everything's back and running at this point.
Yes, thank God.
But what about for, you know, OGs, the whole Glassman thing? How did that impact you guys?
I mean, I wasn't ever like a Glassman is my leader type person. I know that I also never found personally, this is just my statement, him to be representative of what when CrossFit came to people's minds, if they're going to think of a leader, they would picture Dave Castro. I thought more than anybody else, but they think of different athletes, right? You think of Rich Froning, you think of like the people that you see in the games and the, you know, Annie Thor's daughter. So yeah, of course. Was it a stupid comment? Am I fine with telling people like that was absolutely ridiculous? Would we have de-affiliated because of that? No. But I don't look down on people who do. It was wrong.
To de-affiliate or the tweet?
To the tweet.
Did you guys even discuss the potential of de-affiliating?
So we actually,
we were de-affiliated.
We were already, we're re-affiliated.
Re-affiliated.
Oh, you de-affiliated.
For a little bit, we did.
What was the reason for that?
We just didn't feel that CrossFit was doing a whole lot for us at the time. And we were.
You guys were on an old affiliate rate. I mean, you're probably at the $1,000 one.
We were at 2000. Yeah. We did get that rate back. Yay.
Oh, nice.
So Why we deaffiliated, I think we were just trying to separate ourselves from the competition, and we just didn't think that CrossFit was doing a whole lot for us. We recently reaffiliated because CrossFit...
Over a year ago.
Yeah, well over a year. Yeah. Because CrossFit is who we are. It's in our DNA. And we love the direction that CrossFit is going in. And so for those reasons, I think we made a decision amongst the coaches and Lauren and myself to reaffiliate. And I think it was the right move. And so the cool thing is we actually just changed our name back to Shoreline CrossFit. We were Shoreline Athletics for a few years and home of Shoreline CrossFit. Now we're just Shoreline CrossFit.
Nice. It's cool to see that. I mean, all these years later to see, you know, that OGs are coming back around. Do you think you would have had there not kind of been this new ownership?
If the focus was competition, like it was for so many years, probably not.
Isn't it funny though? Coach Glassman was never for competition, but that was the direction it went. Maybe that's just a sign that he kind of took his finger off the pulse of the community. Mm-hmm. You know, he talked about, I don't care about the competition, but it was at the forefront.
Right.
Speaking of competition, so we had this, we were in New Jersey a couple of weeks ago at the summit, and David Osorio was there.
Oh.
And we were at Gorilla Fitness.
Oh, so nice.
Lauren, do you remember this? The weekend finishes. I don't remember what it was, 10 or 11, 2010 or 11. Weekend finishes, and they had qualified someone to the games, and you guys hung around. And you were like, look, this girl.
Remember this? I'm still salty about it.
but you got to go. So ultimately.
I did get to go.
The listeners, here's what's happened. This girl, I believe her name was Mickey, qualified. Yeah. But she clearly wasn't doing chest to bar pull-ups, which I believe was the 10-1 power clean kettlebell swing?
And chest to bar pull-ups. Yeah.
Chest to bar. And by the way. This was in the parking lot. I made that workout up, but we're on a rig that wasn't
bolted
into the ground. So it was shaky. You could try to pull and it could move away from you. But anyway, this girl clearly.
Orlando behind you weighing in at God knows what. Just
It was, you know, a different time. But
yes.
So you guys came up to us after and you're like, look, this girl did not do chest to bar. And we made the executive decision to say, you're right, she's out, after they had already left. And we still joke about it all these years later.
This was before camera phones, like video phones.
It was like somebody had like a...
Somebody had a videotape, but his camera died. So we drove to whatever was near you in Albany, Best Buy, I don't remember, and grabbed a new battery for his camera and got the footage and showed it to you. But she was gone. Podium happened already.
So we had to call them up and let them know, hey, you're not going. Lauren's going. Well, it comes up almost every time I see David Osorio because there were no rules back then.
No.
But what was that like for you? I don't think we've ever asked you.
So I'm going to be honest with you. It was, it was tough because there was this feeling when I went to the games in 2009 that I didn't really belong. And I felt like a lot of people thought I didn't belong. And so in 2009, I was just happy to be there. I wasn't concerned with my placing. I don't think I was ultra competitive. Like I wasn't the normal Lauren because I kind of had this feeling, oh, I got in by the skin of my teeth and I don't know. And so when I re-qualified in 2010 at your, remember that? It was called the Albany Crusher was the name of the last workout.
Oh yeah, with the chipper,
like
with
a chipper with the sled. And when I re-qualified, it mattered to me. I was like, okay, I belong here. I belonged here last year and I definitely do now. And so I worked really hard, I thought, at the games in 2010.
That's awesome. Yeah, it was a fond memory. Those days at the parking lot were a ton of fun. I mean,
so much fun.
You guys were there. Milford was there. New England was there. It was, it was really great. All right, I know you're going to go coach. So before we wrap up, you guys have been married quite some time. Yeah. How many years have you been married now? Like,
married 16, together 20.
16 years, together 20. Mm-hmm. It's hard to run a business with your significant other. So what are some of the lessons you can give to other people that are either currently running a business with their significant other or thinking about it to make sure the marriage stays strong?
I think like any enterprise, you have to have roles and you have to stay in your roles. So like when I go to my day job, I don't try to be my coordinator because it's not my job. So we've always had clear cut boundaries, like roles, and they've changed a little bit over the years. You know, as I said, I programmed in the beginning and then we realized that I wasn't the best fit for that. So I don't try to step on Dave's toes. I give him constructive criticism sometimes about certain program things. You know, if I'm dying and I'm sore, I'm like, you need to change this because how do you think our 65-year-old clients are feeling right now? But I think we do a good job staying in our lanes.
What do you think, Dave? I mean, not about staying in your lane, but what's some advice? You know, it's hearing the female perspective is great. What about the male perspective? I agree with Lauren. That was with my wife, with our companies, you keep the roles and you just know, like, this is what you're in charge of. This is what that's super helpful, but it's hard when it's something you care about.
Yeah. One of the things we do really, really well as a couple, and this is the God's honest truth. We never talk about work at home. We never talk about the financials together at home. Never talk about clients at home. When we're home, we're home. We're watching The Voice, we're drinking wine, we're hanging out with our son, we're thinking about everything else besides the gym. In our early years, it came home with us, and that didn't work.
Yeah, it's hard when you're a business owner, you never get to leave, you know? It's so totally different than any other job. And so that was big for us. Like, if we need to talk about the gym, we schedule a meeting. Meeting's usually at the gym, in the gym office. We get a sitter because we don't want it to be consume our lives, because I think that would just cause us to burn out, resent it. And because of that, I haven't felt that way. There are times I think when Dave's felt burnt out, but it's his full-time gig.
So. How do you stop that? Like, you get home and it's just the rule. What if there's like something that happened and you want to bring it up, or Lauren wants to bring it up?
I don't know. I find other people to lean on.
That's important. So, that's important. I think I've seen a lot of couples. It's like without the business, they have nothing to talk about.
Right.
And you said The Voice. Is that what you said you watch?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. We don't want to think we love documentaries. We'll get down with some.
You know, The Voice isn't as, is Adam Levine still on there?
No.
Yeah. He's the man.
Gone.
What's a good documentary for the listeners to check out?
Oh, Hip Hop Evolution on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. I watched that. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. I mean, I'm a sucker. I'll watch documentary about, Murder Mountain. Very good. About the pot farmers in Northern California. Fascinating. Right.
I'll check that out. So one last question. What's the goal now? You've been in business, you know, 12 years. Mm-hmm. You're reaffiliated. Where do you see affiliation and your business going for the next 10 years? And I guess part of that is, Lauren, when are you going to retire? You got to be approaching 20 years as a teacher. You must be nearing your
teachers teach your for 37 years. So I have 17 more years.
37 years?
Yeah, Connecticut That's teachers crazy. Are 37 for full retirement. So I'm not going anywhere there anytime soon. Gotcha. And go ahead, you can talk about the
job. Well, then I'll let Dave speak on where the business is going.
I've been focusing really hard to make the business lean and actually shrinking it down a little bit. So we're actually moving into it's a smaller location, but really it's a better fit for our model. We're not looking to expand to 300 members, 250 members. We want the right members. And that's our aim right now, and kind of a smaller, leaner business. We actually just signed a 10-year lease. So we're definitely in it for 10 years, for 10 more years. So that'll make us almost a 22-year-old business, which is really, really cool. We're fully invested in CrossFit and the community. So we're all about, you know, deep diving in the community and doing fundraisers and getting involved with fun nutrition challenges and all those things. So that's where I kind of, and because it's not the business is a leaner model now. We trimmed the fat in a lot of different areas. It puts a lot of less stress on us for us to bring in more clients, which placed the focus on the existing members, which is where it should have always been. And so I'm really excited about this new space, coming back to CrossFit, running a leaner business. It places less stress on me because I'm kind of like the financial guy, but it kind of brings us back to the product and just, you know, staying humble and getting in it for the right and staying in it for the right reasons, which is to stay super healthy, to help people also get very healthy and change some lives, you know?
Well, I think that's a big lesson box owners need to learn is, you know, chasing 200, 300 members may seem like the direction you need to go, but having 80 to 100 quality members that you still want to party with or at least hang out with.
Absolutely.
That don't bring the drama, that listen to you when you tell them to put their equipment away after. That's what, I mean, you did not start this business to surround yourself with people you don't like and don't want to be around. Right. You did it because you want to hang out with your friends. So that's really awesome. I'm sure you'll get there. Yeah. When do you anticipate reopening?
So we're still open now.
In the new spot?
Early December.
Cool. And you're excited about that?
Yeah, it's been stressful, but at the same time, I'm excited.
Well, because they took on the hat of a general contractor on top of everything that does. So it's a lot more.
Gotcha.
It's going to be great.
It's
the right space. It's intimate. It's going to force some of our coaches tend to stand in the front of the class and coach from there, which is something we talk to them about. It's not possible in this space. They're going to be in people's faces.
Oh yeah. People are going to get coached.
Okay. So I'm pumped about it. And it's a nice location too. So.
Cool. Well, I'm glad you guys are doing so well all these years later. Keep up the great work. I'm glad we got to connect, and it's fun to hear from some of the OGs in the space.
Thanks, and thanks for having us on. And keep up your posts. I love them. I screenshot them and send them away to everybody.
Well, I appreciate that, but you know, you guys know it's just stuff that we've been doing this whole time. And I think, like anything, people try to make things more complicated than they need to be.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, thank you very much. And good luck with the new space and everything else you got going on at Shoreline CrossFit.
Thank you so much. And good luck to you too and your family.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the Best Hour of Their Day podcast. We appreciate you listening and choosing to have us help you in your passion for coaching and affiliate ownership. You can find more episodes just like this on all podcast platforms. If you're interested in learning more, you can reach out to us on any social media platforms, or you can visit www.besthouroftheirday.com to book a call. If you found this episode helpful for you, please share it so that we can help other coaches and affiliate owners to help build a bigger and stronger CrossFit community. Thanks for listening.